Welcome to the PeaceWorks Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Moles. I'm a pastor and biblical counselor who helps churches and families confront the evil of domestic violence and promote healthy, God-honoring relationships.
And welcome back, everyone, to the PeaceWorks Podcast. We're excited that you have decided to join us today. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about accountability. So I'm going to jump right into that question. After stepping into an abusive marriage, we as pastors, okay, so group of pastors have stepped in to an abusive marriage situation. So I guess they're working a case, okay? So after stepping into an abusive marriage, we pastors are finding it hard to establish and maintain accountability with the husband. Our meetings are pleasant. He seems willing to comply to our request, but honestly, we haven't seen ownership or acknowledgement of any wrongdoing. Can you please help us with some next steps? All right, so I do appreciate this, and I think this is something that we discussed quite a bit. I was having a discussion not too long ago with a friend of mine in intervention work who was seeing this within some local churches that was frustrating. And I guess the first thing I would say is to all of us is how, just remind ourselves and show ourselves a little bit of grace on how difficult this work is. We, in particular, as pastors, and I've been a pastor for 25 years, almost 25 years. We as pastors are generally having conversations with individuals that are hopeful. We attempt to be kind. Most of the time, we are looking for solutions together. Discipleship has, in many ways, been defined for us as a come alongside and care for people, helping them walk in truth, which is great. But in this work with holding individuals accountable, there's definitely a point in which we are digging in a little bit, digging our heels in a little bit, a little more confrontational. We don't have to be ugly. As you heard me say many times, we in confrontational ministry, we want to be gentle. There's a winsomeness to this work that we are here to help, but we also want to be direct and somewhat firm in what we're doing. So I applaud you for stepping in to an accountable relationship. But a couple of things that I think we need to do is we probably need to reframe and readdress why we're here. Okay. So one of our next meetings probably needs to include a reminder as to why we are here. Okay. So I'm assuming based on the question, that disclosures have been made, the elders have stepped in, there's been some acknowledgement of a problem in the marriage that you guys are seeing as abusive, if the question's coming to me. So now that you've actually engaged with the husband in this case, my guess is, again, I'm going to make assumptions, that you have the consent of the victim in this case, you're working to draw him into repentance, and you're struggling because of a lack of accountability. So I would clearly articulate again why we're here. So, you know, the last few weeks have been really good getting to know each other. You describe it here in the question as pleasant, which I totally agree. A lot of times these early meetings are pleasant. No one's really lost it yet. That could happen. There seems to be an openness to meet, but we're still lacking the ownership or acknowledgement. So I would start there. You know, why are we here? Okay. We're here because there's some major concerns in your family, concerns that you even seem to acknowledge because you're here, right? And then I would start addressing some of the big rocks that I have permission to address once we all acknowledge why we're here. So why are we here? And then the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to step into questions that clarify, okay? So one of the traps that happens in abuse work with abusive individuals is if we are not careful with our language, we invite a dialogue in which each party, myself as the leader and he as the client or the counselee in this case, each one is bringing insight to the conversation. This is much more about clarity. And so one of the things I want my questions to do is to add clarity. So, you know, hey, John, you know, we and the elders, we're here for a reason. I just want to remind everybody in the room why we're here. There's been some really deep struggles in your family. There's been some hurt. You've even yourself said that's one of the reasons why that you are here. So, and again, I might even do that before we pray. Then I might say, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us stay on target and dig down and get to the bottom of some of these things. And we're going to do that in the best way that we can. And during my prayer, I may pray, you know, ask the Lord to give us strength, wisdom, clarity of thought, help us to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Like I may teach even through that time. And then I want to open up with questions of clarity. So, you know, what I don't know what I called him, John. So, John, tell me a little bit about this most recent incident in which your family was afraid. However it's been framed for us, I'm going to frame it that way to him. So I'm not going to try to give him information that he doesn't already have. So that's a strategy that I would warn against. I wouldn't just start giving him info that's been fed to me from the victim without her consent. I'm really going to start with where we all are so that he can add the clarity. And so he begins to take me off track, you know, telling me a story that doesn't apply to what we need. When he takes a breath, I may say, you know, let me stop you for just a second. And I feel like we're getting kind of a big brush stroke vision, picture of that evening. What I think is going to help us most, John, is in that moment, you describe this moment by the couch where you raised your voice. Like, I'm really interested to know what you said in that moment. Let's bullet point that real quick. What were the 3, 4, 5, 10 things that you said in that moment? See, what I've done there is I've given him an opportunity to give me clarity. And that's really what these initial accountability meetings are for, is what we call in the W, in the Men of Peace process, information. Yes, I'm gathering information. The I don't know if irony is the right word, but the peculiarity is that I have more information than he's disclosed because I usually have victim information. So the information is partly for me, but the information is very much for him. The value of him taking the time to not distract, not waste time with storytelling that doesn't go anywhere. Sometimes storytelling is good, but sometimes doesn't go anywhere. Minimizing, denying, blaming, many of the tactics that he's being tempted to use to protect himself, much more productive for me to target some areas, draw out some answers so that we have something to own. That's one of the frustrations that these leaders are saying is he seems willing to comply with our requests, but honestly, we haven't seen ownership or acknowledgement. So my guess is we're giving him homework that's pretty basic, and he's willing to do the homework, especially if the homework is something like reading or memorizing a scripture or complying with a list. But when we get to the point of how you sinned against your wife, we're probably being met with minimization, redefining, rationalization. And that's why good questions are important. And since we've already framed our discussion with a reminder as to why we're here, I can always come back and say, you know, I feel again like we've gotten far afield from our purpose here. And, you know, just to reiterate, this is why we're here. And then I come back to a question to clarify. I want to get more data. And that's going to, I think, move the accountability process along for a couple reasons. One, it allows me to have a filter and a rubric for which I'm going to stay on target. I used to tell people that I train, there's a scene from Star Wars, where one of the X-Wing pilots keeps saying that, stay on target, stay on target, you know, and I used to have that in my notes for people observing them, was like, stay on target, don't address a lesser point. In other words, don't allow him to redefine your counseling and care at this point. Be persistent, stay on target. Again, you don't have to be mean or ornery. Actually being gentle and winsome and cooperative works. It works better for me anyway, to be kind enough to remind him why we're here and what we're doing. And those questions that clarify hopefully will gather you more data. Third, so first, you know, reframe in this next meeting why you're here. Follow up with questions to clarify what you're looking for. And then third, pull the rope. And pull the rope is just the technique that we talk about. It's just the phrase we use about follow up the answers to your clarifying questions with further clarifying questions. You know, at that moment, John, beside the couch, you know, you acknowledge that you raised your voice. What were some of the things that you said? Oh, I said some really ugly things. The temptation is to say, you know, that sounds bad. What did you do next? We haven't got an answer. We have an answer. We don't have an answer enough. So my clarifying pull the rope question then is to say, what were some of the ugly things that you said? Oh, you know, Pastor, I can't even remember. I can understand how difficult, John, it would be to disclose this. But here's my challenge. You remember enough about your language to categorize it as ugly. So there's something about it that you see as inappropriate. So I've got to believe that you know some specifics, and maybe it's not so much that you can't remember, but that you don't want to remember. And I can understand that. Who wants to acknowledge to people in your lives the ugly things that you've said? But if we're really going to do the job that we talked about at the very beginning of our meeting, the thing that we asked the Lord to help us with in our time of prayer, we need to know. So let's really, really drill down on this one. What was one of the ugly things that you said? Well, I called her mother A, B, C, and D. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, John. And I'm writing this down. So you're saying that you called her mother these names. Yeah. What other ugly thing did you say in that moment? What's the second ugly thing that you said in that moment? You see, what I'm doing now is I'm not leaving that. I'm drilling down. And I think those type of questions will help you get clarity. Now, you might be listening and say, Chris, it seems like that would take a long time. Yeah. Yeah, I would say if you guys in this meeting, if you've scheduled an hour for this meeting once a week, you're really going to have to do some safety planning, because it's going to take you many weeks to get to a point of promoting repentance. And by weeks, I mean months at this point, if we're doing an hour a week. So let me give you some recommendations on the fourth thing that you can do. The fourth thing that you can do is assign homework that matches the goal. So in the question, the questioner says that the husband is willing to comply, but they haven't seen ownership or acknowledgement yet. So there's things that he's willing to do. Like he's probably, and my guess is, willing to do basic homework. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to build homework that matches the goal of the meeting. So we've said to him, this is why we're here. This is what we're doing. We've asked questions to clarify that so that we are participating in that work. We pulled the rope on those answers to get more clarity. And now what I might do at the end of this, you know, hour and a half meeting is I might say, you know what, John, I just want you to look at something real quick. And I might draw a tree on a piece of paper, just a very simple tree. And I might draw a little fruit on that tree, and I may draw arrows from that fruit, and I may put the specific things we uncovered that night. You know, tonight, this work, Luke chapter 6 says that a good man brings good from the good stored up in his heart, an evil man evil from the evil stored up in his heart. And I could read the passage about the fruit in that particular Luke chapter 6 passage. But what I may do is I may say, here's the fruit that we've uncovered tonight. When you called her mother these names, when you called her these names, when you yelled at her, when you intimidated her, when you isolated her in these following ways. So see, in just this hour, John, we've been able to uncover, and let's just say, six things that are very significant to this whole story. And I'm going to guess we haven't even scratched the surface. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you this week to reread Luke chapter 6, verses 42 through 45, whatever the passage is. Sorry, I don't remember the address. And then I'm going to ask you to add some clarity. I'm going to give you some categories, all right? I'm going to give you big categories. And then I'm going to ask you to put some bullet points about how you may and the ways you have harmed your wife underneath these categories. And I might add coercion, threat, and distress, right? And see if he can come up with something in his homework. This would be very similar to what we do in Men of Peace. And so another concept, if you're a biblical counselor or a pastor working with an individual like this, you may want to assign him the Men of Peace digital course, the self-paced course at menofpeace.org. It is an investment, but what it can do, I think, is give you guys really good homework in between your meetings. And you don't have to rush it. You could stay at this information phase as long as you need to. But that's my first initial recommendation. So let's go back to the question. After stepping into an abusive marriage, we as pastors are finding it hard to establish and maintain accountability with the husband. Our meetings are pleasant. He seems willing to comply with what we request. But honestly, we haven't seen ownership or acknowledgement of any wrongdoing. So my recommendation is in your next meeting, set the tone. Hey, let's remind everyone why we're here. Let's pray in light of that reminder. I'm going to ask some questions to clarify and stay with it. You know, be a dog on a bone with this one, all right? Pull the rope on the answers that you're given. Document everything, by the way, right? And assign homework that reiterates the point, that stays with the theme of why we're here. If you need some help, I highly recommend Men of Peace. I think what you guys have structured here by way of accountability would benefit greatly from the Men of Peace course, because you don't have to rush it. You don't have to do all 10 modules in 10 weeks. You can spread it out over 30 weeks, over 1 year if you need to, because you can always revisit those principles. What I think you'll benefit from most is evaluating his regular homework and helping him build out the tree model that I gave you as a homework assignment. Men of Peace, after each module, goes back to the tree model and asks them to fill that out. So I really think that would be a huge help to you guys, and you can find that at menofpeace.org. So appreciate the question. I think accountability is hard for us as pastors to hold abusive men accountable. I think the temptation is to collude, is to forget who we're serving, that we're not serving primarily the abusive individual, but his family, and God primarily for God's glory. And so we want to see repentance that is fruitful, accurate, transformative. And so, you know, my hope is that you guys will find maybe some of these suggestions helpful, and you'll get a little bit more of a foothold in your next conversation with this fella. Fictionally, I called him John. I don't know what his name is, but, you know, I wish you guys well. We wish all of you listening well, and we hope that all of you are benefiting from the Peaceworks podcast and the resources that we put out here at Peaceworks. We would love to serve you, and I think one of the ways that we could serve this questioner and his team and all of you listening is through Peaceworks Live. Peaceworks Live is our annual conference. And yes, there's a live stream option. We would love for you to come via live stream, but we still have room in person. The conference is months away, and yet we're at almost 50% capacity for the conference. And so there is room for you at the time of this recording. So go to chrismoles.org find the information on PeaceWorks Live, register you and your team, make your way to Winfield, West Virginia, October 10th and 11th, 2024. You won't regret it. The Biblical Counseling and Domestic Abuse track is chock full of experts who have more case wisdom and case volume than nearly anyone else and any combined group that I know of in the biblical counseling world. The plenaries are going to be on a theology of domestic abuse featuring myself, Darby Strickland, and Jeremy Pierre. The Men of Peace facilitator track is almost full. I mean, if you want to know how to do this work, this accountability work, that's the place to be. And our trauma-informed victim care track is filling up as well. And you can learn more about that, PeaceWorks Live, at chrismoles.org. If you value the PeaceWorks podcast, let somebody know. Would you rate, review, subscribe, follow, whatever the platform you're listening on asks you to do? That'll help us out, and it will help others find the PeaceWorks podcast. Thank you guys so much for being part of our team and our family. Until next time, God bless.